recorded live.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all. Welcome to another episode of the Head of HouseholdStress.com's The Virtual Talk Show for Married Men, hosted by this week's myself, P-Town, produced by the Head of Household team. That is myself, Patrice Eckert, Rodney Turner, and Tony Hawkins. Tonight's episode topic is anger management. Why does it show up in our relationship? Why do we let anger rule our responses? Is it stress? Is it the sex? Is it jealousy? Or is it you? We have disagreements, or we don't see things the same way in our relationships. We have problems at work, which we bring home, that can harm our relationships. Our bills, our finances are not where we want it to be, which could harm our relationships. My wife, our spouses, are talking crazy, and they start to get on our darn nerves, and that can harm our relationships. Here's some questions that may get used in the reasons of why anger should not be a big part of our marriage. Do you sometimes yell or raise your voice to get your point across? Do you find yourself frequently in arguments with your spouse? Do you frequently lose patience with your spouse? I was doing some research. In my research, I found a couple of things. I don't think it was too much, but are we, because we're with that one person all the time, that it's easier to get a point across by just having an argument, by not seeing eye to eye? Is this something that happens before the marriage and that we bring in and we just continue that same path through the marriage? Or is this some things that are new that come up and we, because our communication skills and our communications with our spouse have gone down, it's not the same as it was before, that anger is the best way to get a point across? Can anybody answer that question for me?
Say, you say that anger is our best way at some point to get our point across?
Yes, that anger is our best way to get our point across.
Maybe because the emotions get the best of us at that time?
Emotions. But, I mean, emotions, this is our wife. We shouldn't be talking to our wives through emotions. We should be able to talk to our wives on the same level all the time, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
So what is it about it? That's that underlying emotions that makes that anger come out. Is it because you're trying to make a stand or point, and you don't know any other way of making that point but to raise your voice a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but you know, I don't get angry often. I guess you know my issue is that you know I go from 0 to 60 when I do get angry, but. You know, I really don't, you know, get angry, you know, too often. I'm pretty easy going, and it takes a lot to get me angry. But when I do get angry, you know, I get angry. So, you know, I guess I can't really, personally, you know, I can't, it's some things, you know, that get me angry. But regarding the relationship, regarding the marriage, regarding the kids, I really don't find too often where I'm angry. You know, disappointed, yeah, you know, upset, yeah, but, you know, to the point of anger, that's, it's very rare for me. You know, maybe that's just me.
I think for me, when I was younger, I used to get angry a lot more than I get angry now. But I think everybody gets angry at some point. I think we all have a level that can be pushed to that point. But I think the way we deal with it and the way we express it is what really, you know, I mean, anger is a normal emotion. If somebody does something or enough, you're going to get angry or tired of it. But the way you handle that and deal with it, that's really the question. I mean, just like you get happy, you can get upset. You know, I mean, that's a normal emotion that we all have. But how we allow ourselves to react to it, I know I have a teenage daughter, and she would say, especially in years past, this person, this made me mad. They just made me so mad. And, you know, my response to her, our response to her was, nobody can make you mad. I mean, they can do things, but you choose how you're going to react to it. And learning how to react when things aren't going your way, I think, is a sign of maturity. And learning how to, especially if you have that passion inside you that wants to deal with it in, you know, in an explosive way, I think it really has to do with understanding the damage that you cause more so than, you know, the good it does, because it really doesn't do any good. I don't care how, you know, you may win the battle, but you're going to lose the war.
Right. But is it the emotional stress that makes you do that? Is it something other than the argument that's bringing you into the stress? Because what I find out that even when I get upset, it's not even about that actual argument or communication that's coming back and forth between myself and my wife. It's about something else that just also kind of just molds right into whatever conversation we have.
Well, I would say that the anger comes from the fact that you're dealing with an adult, and it comes from the fact that you're repeating yourself. I know for me, I haven't found the maturity yet. I can get angry at the drop of a dime, and I know I got to work on that. But it's one of these things where when I'm talking with my wife, or any adult for that matter, you know, it's common sense most of the time. And you know, I'm going to try to dumb it down and make it real easy for you to follow. And then from there, if it's still like a dilemma, yeah, I'm probably going to go to that point of anger, because I'm just tired of repeating myself. And I think sometimes when you think about how it comes out maybe in a marriage or a relationship, is your wife's not a kid, you know? Your wife's not a child. It's not a young adult. It's not a college-age student, a high school-age student, none of that. You're dealing with an adult person that you've taken vows with that you're hoping would be able to, you know, continue to make good decisions and include you and do things like that. The anger comes out when you have to repeat yourself and constantly say something that you might have been saying 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And I understand that, you know, some people are just who they are and you can't change them. And they're just that, you know, as my mother told me, the things that are problems now ain't going to get better when you get married. But at the same time, it's like, come on. You know, if I tell you I'm allergic to carrots, why are you feeding me carrots? You trying to kill me? You know, that's just an example. I'm not allergic to carrots. But the point is that if I'm sharing with you something and you still going the opposite way, that's a problem, you know. And then the anger comes out because you're dealing with somebody that you expect to be able to make a definitive decision based off of discussions that you've had with them. So I can't do anything but get angry about that one.
Is that because the other spouse is pretending like nothing is wrong? Have you ever been in arguments where your spouse feels like nothing is wrong and you're saying, we got a big major problem here we need to discuss? So it gets you more angry and angry.
Can I respond to one thing that the brother said?
Yep.
The last statement he said when he finished what he was talking about, he said, I can't do anything but get angry at that. When we only give ourselves that out, then that's the box we put ourselves into. What I have found is, as I've gotten older, and I implore you guys to do this. I was sitting at a table one day and a guy picked up a bottle of hot sauce, Tabasco sauce, and he held the bottle up to me and he said, "What do you see?" I said, "Tabasco sauce." He He says, no, read what it says. And it was two words, Tabasco sauce. And I read it, Tabasco sauce. He says, no, what are you, stupid? You can't see what's wrong with you. He said, open your stupid eyes and look at what I'm looking at. He says, read what it says. And I said, what are you, stupid? It says Tabasco sauce. He says, no, it doesn't. And he starts reading off the list of ingredients from the back of the bottle that he was looking at. And he flipped it around to me and he said, you know, everybody has a different perspective on things. And just because you see things one way does not mean somebody from a different perspective doesn't see things in a different way. And it's because I was real hot-headed, and I used to fly off because I felt people were just stupid, and they just didn't understand. And what's wrong with you? Can't you see? And he was trying to show me that different people have different perspectives because of the miles that they walked, and I didn't have all the answers. And it just made me stop and think. You know, a lot of times I would think things were common sense. I have a very strong choleric personality, you guys that know me. And if people didn't see things my way, I just thought that they were stupid. Something was wrong with you, okay? And I said, well, you know, you and I have a right to disagree. You've got a right to be wrong, all right? And what I started to see when he started to show me these things is different people have a different perspective, and what they see is based upon the miles that they walk. And I don't know what they walk, and I don't know the perspective they're coming in. Just because they didn't see things my way didn't make them stupid, okay? And it was a valuable lesson to me, and it's real important that we try to look at things from other people's perspective, and just because they don't see things our way doesn't make them stupid, ignorant, or whatever. They just may see things and may not have the experiences that we've had. And generally, I'm 47 years old. Today, I look at almost every single thing today very differently than I looked at when I was 15 years old, okay? And when I was 20 years old and when I was 30 years old, because as I grow, I change. If we don't change, something's really wrong.
I think that's a good point, you know, but I think within that conversation, what was just said also is the fact that you can respect perspectives and things like that and really take that in consideration. But when the anger comes out is when there's a definitive right and wrong. So perspective doesn't matter when there's right and wrong. I can, you know, have a perspective from a vantage point over top of the hill and you over there behind the building and this other person is out on a boat. But perspective doesn't matter when it's right or wrong because it's still right or wrong. Doesn't matter where you position or what you saw or what you heard or read. And I think that sometimes, particularly in a marriage or in a relationship, when the anger comes out or anything, is because, you know, people want to play the perspective card all the time and say, well, I saw it this way and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's nothing to see. It's nothing really to talk about. It's this or that. It's what we discussed.
If you have somebody,
what I found is most of the time there isn't a whole lot of black and white out there. There's a lot of gray area. There are a few absolutes, but a lot of times what I have found, there's a lot of gray area. And what I try to do is give somebody that benefit of the doubt. Maybe I think it's black and white, but what I thought was black and white 15 years ago today isn't as black and white as I thought it was.
But, okay, well, going along those lines, when we're talking about the anger in the marriage, when you have a discussion about something that you're going to do with a child or something surrounding your finances or something that's happening, and you and your wife or have sat down and talked about this and it's decided upon, there is no gray. If you made a decision and then if one person just goes out of pocket and does something randomly after we've spent all this time talking about it, doing this research and doing whatever, and then you just do something completely different, there is no gray. It's just here comes the pain. I mean, I don't know what else to say behind that. And like I said, I'm lacking that maturity right now, and I'm sure it's going to come in time, hopefully. You know, but
I think that's part of the problem is that it's too much gray. If it were more, you know, black and white, I think that we could all get along better because, you know, as the brother said, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's right and it's wrong. I mean, it's truth and a lie. I mean, a half-truth is a lie. And, I mean, when it comes down to it, if it was less gray, we might get along better. If we would, you know, face up to reality is, you know, it is what it is. I was wrong, you were wrong, or whatever, and then move on.
I think the difficult part, too, also, when we think about this anger thing, is particularly being a guy, and this might just be me, but when I have to, you know, turn the television off, cancel things off the agenda, really sit down and have this long 15-minute conversation, go through all of these things, which I want to do, but I could be doing something else. And then ultimately, what you had me sit down and us work through and listen to and me chime in and get feedback on and show up to and go look at this and travel to there and do that, and then you just flat out do something different, I'm hot because I'm just like, well, wait a minute. Why did I exhaust all this energy and all this stuff on the front end, had to be there, had to show interest, had to co-sign this, had to do that, and now it's like it doesn't even matter. What was the point of me being involved if you were just going to do it? Because if the tables were turned, oh, my goodness, I might not be – the locks might be changed by the time I come home. So that's where the anger sometimes, I think, really comes out.
Was that the way it was when you guys got married? Or did
was
it
that
change
the,
after you got married?
Nah, I mean, it was kind of that way, but it's the type of thing where I guess it's just where, I mean, you get to a point at some where you're just like, all right, enough is enough. And you think you have a really good conversation about it. But as stated, you know, like I said, it was kind of that way before, so I guess it's kind of innate. It's just ultimately the way this person thinks and the way she's going to go with it or the way it's going to, you know, the outcomes are going to be. But that's frustrating. Particularly when you have somebody that's always talking about, we are a unit, we got to work together, we got to do this, please run that, talk to me about this. And I'm thinking about that. But then you might, it's like you have free reign to always call an audible. That doesn't make sense to me. So, of course, the anger is going to come out. Because, like, I don't have that reign. There's no equality in that. And besides, more importantly, it shouldn't be that way. We've talked about something and we spent the energy to really exhaust every avenue, discuss the topics, discuss the issues, research it, gone and looked at this, gone and looked at that. I mean, how can you just call an audible? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why I would say, like, some of the anger comes out, particularly when you're dealing with an adult. You know, you're just like, come on, man. This seems like it would be so much easier. This is not hard.
Well, I mean, but for somebody else, I mean, if you look at the other side of the coin, what is their position? That's your thought. But what is their opinion from their side? What do you think they're seeing?
Well, I don't know what they're seeing. I just know what I always hear. And what I always hear is you got to be more flexible. But I'm just like, I don't know how much more flexion I can do. I mean, I'm a contortionist over here, as much flexing as I'm doing. You know, I mean, I keep going back to the table. I revisit stuff. I'm listening to this. I'm listening to that, blah, 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 yiggity, yiggity, all of this.
Yeah, let me tell you this, brother. And, you know, I hope you'll take this in respect, but I think that, you know, sometimes you can be unreasonable. And I mean, I say that out of love, brother, you know, but I know you, and I think that, because I actually just had this conversation with somebody else, but I think that, not about you, but I think that a lot of times that we think we're being flexible and the contortionist and everything, but when it really comes back down to it, we could be a little more flexible. You know, we could flip it around. We could be a little more flexible. And I think if we take that approach, you know, it might work better versus saying, well, I done A, B, and C, and you want me to do D. You know, I'm not doing D, you know, because I've already done A, B, and C. But I think at times, you know, we can be as men, you know, me included, you know, I put myself in that boat too. But, you know, I think that we can be unreasonable where we think we're not. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what, you know. I don't know if that makes sense, but I know early in my marriage, you know, I was unreasonable. Cause I look back on some of the stuff my wife would ask or, you know, we talk about, and, you know, I'd just be like, nah, no.
Oh.
Whereas now, you know, she'll say the same thing, and I'd be like, yeah. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, no. But I'm trying to be more flexible.
Is that because you try not to argue?
I try not to be as unreasonable as I guess it's almost like I'm trying to make up for my past behaviors. Because I was unreasonable. I was very unreasonable.
That means you're a pushover.
Yeah. Softened up a little bit.
You know, I think for me and my wife, I'm just going to talk about the marriage relationship. I think it starts for us with deciding that divorce is off the table. And we both decided before we got married that divorce was going to be off the table, which only left one of three other options. One, be married and have a, you know, contentious relationship and just stay together and be miserable. Number two, work out whatever the issues that we happen to have on, you know, on the table. And live in peace and a loving relationship, or three, murder. So, you know, when you take divorce off the table, really, obviously, we went out for killing each other. So that means either work it out and live in peace and have a loving relationship, or not work it out and live in a contentious, horrible relationship. Given those two objectives, I'd rather live in peace, and my wife would rather live in peace. And the things that we do, we try to, not that we always accomplish it, but we try to deal with each other in a way that isn't disrespectful and dishonoring. And there's times that I do things that are offensive to her, and it hurts her and upsets her, and we have sometimes high-level discussions about different incidents. You know, but it always comes back to the same thing. We respect each other and love each other enough not to try to hurt each other. And if we can get beyond the incident and realize it's not a personal attack, you know, it's a failing on one side or the other. I'll tell you an incident we just had literally last night that is bothersome to me, but not that big a deal to my wife. 5 years ago yesterday, my wife and I got engaged. And it was really important to me, and I put a lot into planning it, and it was a very, very important event in my life. And she said yes, which really was incredible. Well, every year on our engagement anniversary, you know, I acknowledge it, and she always forgets it for 5 years running. And it bothers me. It's like, you know, this is important to you. And she said, I remember last year, she said, oh, yes, it's important. And that. Well, this year, same thing. And after midnight, I said, you know, you forgot our engagement again. And she was like, oh, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, it bothered me. Now, that's a little thing, and I know that may not be a thing. But just like the brother said, you know, when you say something over and over and over again, it doesn't get through. You can kind of take that as, you know, well, I'm not important. It doesn't matter what I have to say. What I feel doesn't matter. And we had a, you know, discussion about it and some upset time about it, but it comes down to it again. It's not about, you know, her being offensive to me. It's a shortfall falling of her or whatever it happens to be, but it's not who she is. And, you know, when we can look at things as, look, I've got shortfallings and shortcomings, but it's not who I am. And if we can look at others the same way, you know, the one thing that I wanted to try to explain, because I know where you are. I don't know who you are. I've never met you, but if you could understand that you do not have to react in anger, that's a choice. What happens to us, we cannot control. The right way we react to it, we can. And if you give that control to somebody else, somebody can push your buttons all day, and you're no longer in control.
Well, let's take that point that you have there, and let's go into our first question, which is it stress? I want to bring in a situation that it's not a huge situation, but it's something I'm going through right now. It's, my wife has been working these double shifts at work, you know, and she's not happy. She's not happy that she has to work these double shifts. But what ends up happening is that stress from her not being happy at work is now coming home. And though she can't see it,
the words that and her tone that it comes out of her mouth on things is a negative tone, which, in other words, there's not a polite, you know, you try to say polite, man, baby, calm down, you know, leave that at work, you're at home now, relax. But her tone brings in two things where she's questioning what you have done, and now you got to defend yourself. And it shouldn't be an argument, but her stress has brought a negative tone into the home, and now you have a bad situation going on where arguments happen off the drop of a dime on something that shouldn't even be an argument. And just like you said, Andrew, it's not that it's your tone. It's not that, you know, that's not you. It's you brought into that situation. And you try to avoid that situation, but you can't. It's there. So what do then?
I think you have to try to just focus on the positives. You know, for example, a double shift, that sounds like she's gainfully employed and they want her to work. So, I mean, positive aspect would be just having a job and they want you there versus her hours being cut, you know, or whatever the case may be in the times we live in. So, but I think, you know, that's a positive to, you know, to be working a double shift, you know, because a lot of folks have no shift.
Right.
And would be, you know, really kind of like just clamoring for a double or even, you know, a regular shift, you know, right about now. So, and I think that, you know, just trying to help her just, you know, focus on the positive aspects, you know, because it's so much easier to be negative in any situation. I think the brother was just talking about, you know, and you know, what we've also talked about on these calls is, you know, how you respond versus how you react. You know, the whole it's easy to get angry, you know, but it's harder to say, you know what, I'm going to put a smile on my face. I'm gonna take the high road. You know, that's difficult. You know, it's easier said than done. So I think so that, you know, to help the household is to try to get her to a place that, you know, yes, you're employed. You know, they actually want you to work. They're not saying, you know, actually we don't need you but one day this week. You know, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And just try to get her to center in on the positives, and that way, you know, when she's working that double or triple, you know, whatever the case may be, that she would be like, you know what, thank God I'm employed. Thank God that, you know, they volunteered me to work this double, you know, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity, you know, and I might can, you know, in my situation, I might can witness to somebody, you know, coming through my area or my workspace or whatever, and, you know, it is what it is, but I think you just got to focus on try to get her to focus on the positive. That'll help the whole household.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is, as head of household, as men, this might be a situation to be able to pull our wives aside. And first of all, to answer your question, yes, stress in life creates the environments that are very explosive a lot of times. Has nothing to do, or very little to do, with the issue at hand. It has to do with all the other nonsense that we deal with, and I've seen that in my life. But from where I am now, one place that I would maybe encourage to look at in a situation like the double shift kind of thing, to pull your wife aside and say, "Sweetie, I understand what you're dealing with, and you know, I'm sorry that this is what it is. What can I do to help relieve some of the stress to make it easier for you while you're dealing with this? Because, you know, I can only imagine how difficult it is. And, you know, I don't want it, you know, to affect our home life and our kids and all this. So what can I do to help relieve some of this?"
That's good words.
You know, that might let her take a step back and look at herself and go, "Wow, I'm coming home releasing this." And she said, "Oh, sweetie, I didn't mean to be like that."
Well, I have to tell you, I tried that. And,
I was going to throw in here, this is, you know, you guys told me a while back, when something sounds a little crazy, just say, does it sound crazy? This sounds a little crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, to say that, oh, you know, I get the point of being able to say, hey, I'm working a double shift, I'm going to flip it and say, hey, I'm employed. But the thing about it is that in that situation at the moment, are you really able to pull that point out? I mean, sometimes that's just as bad as going in the direction of what we're talking about, of being angry and responding with anger.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can try that positive spin and, oh, what can I do to help relieve the situation? I mean, that that can get you in just as bad a situation as if you responded with some type of anger and a response. So I guess I just need a little bit more elaborate, you know, somebody to elaborate on that a little bit further with, you know, this positive spin to it. I know that's what we as heads of household, that's what we're trying to do.
Well, what I did, and what I ended up doing, she was like, well, they want me to get this hotel because it's snowing. And so I said, all right, come on home. We have your clothes packed. Get you something to eat. We were already at the Bob Evans eating. So I got her a plate. I said, come on, it started to snow. So not only now she's upset that she has to go, you know, she has to stay in the hotel, and she wanted to get other things done, and now she has to work this double shift, but we got this blizzard coming along. So I said, listen, just pack up the kids. I'll come with you to the hotel. I'll drive you back, make sure you get there safe. We'll stay in the room, wait for you. You come back, lunchtime, we have lunch. So that kind of calmed her down a little bit. It's just me saying, I'm going to stop whatever I'm doing and I'm going to come with you. We're going to stay in the hotel. We'll work through this together. That kind of eased her mold a little bit. That was that compromise, because even then, going back to work, it was almost an argument because she was bothering me while I was driving in the snow. You know, people spinning out. And I'm like, I got you, baby. You know, she's like, well, if we had left early.
What do you think would have happened if you had reacted with anger, with her anger?
She probably would have tried to leave on her own. Could have been an accident, you know. She'd be like, never mind, y'all just stay here. I'll just leave on my own. Because I went to go pick up some food she was upset that she was like, Patrice, we need to go. And I was like, well, let's get some stuff so we can have some snacks and food in the room. Because then by the time we get there, everything's going to be closed. So people are going to be trying to get home. And so she just left me at the, I think I saw Rodney at the,
at the Safeway.
And she just walked out and just like, I'll be at home. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get these sodas for the kids and chips and stuff, so we'll have something to snack on while you're at work. So that little situation right there, she could have said then, I'm gone, got my clothes, and by the time we got home, she could have been gone. And then I would have just known that she was on her way back to work with us without us being there. But once she got to the house, she kind of calmed down. I was there right after she got there, and I said, all right, let's pack up and let's go. Let me finish the little things I was doing before we left, and then let's hit the road. So we ended up hitting the road, and everything was cool. Her nerves were real bad until we got at the hotel. Once we got at the hotel, it was great.
I want to throw a monkey wrench in and ask this question. Is there ever a time that it's better to react in anger than not?
No.
Well, I think
never.
First we need to realize that anger is an emotion and doesn't necessarily constitute the reaction.
Right.
So by us being angry in and of itself is not wrong. It's how we react to the anger that becomes wrong.
Okay, if we express it in an angry way, okay, we're angry and we express it in an explosive way to explode that anger out at the person or the situation that we perceive is creating this anger in us. Is it ever a time that is the preferred method to handle things?
No.
No.
Towards your spouse? I think that's what we're talking about, right?
No. Yeah.
I talked to you towards your spouse or toward anyone?
I think it depends on our
spouse. Let's deal with stuff, yes, because it does. We can go off into different tangents on that. So, but in dealing with our spouse, absolutely not. It's never. It's never a way out.
So
I think that I think it all depends on the situation, and we're just talking about spouses right now. But just saying that we were talking about, is there anybody? I think it depends on the person too, because sometimes I'm gonna be honest with you. Sometimes my response is anger. It's not a reaction. I choose to respond with anger, and that's how I'm going to respond. I think another thing that we need to clear up on this with this topic as well is the fact that, you know, displaying anger doesn't necessarily mean you flipping over a table, busting out windows, throwing bricks through houses, anything. I mean, it could be very short, curt, to the point. It could be a look. It could be complete silence. It could be anything. And then the person knows that, oh, snap, he's angry or she's angry. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing something, you know, flipping tables over and, you know, breaking stuff. I mean, you can respond with anger in several ways. But to answer the question, I think that it depends. I think it ultimately depends because it is an emotion. And to try to, to squelch that and to harness it, I mean, sometimes that's not going to do because you may become that pushover. You may become that individual where, well, this person's never upset about anything. Nothing's ever serious. I mean, some people just respond or get what you're saying when sometimes you have to take that stance.
But let me ask this question then. Let me ask the million-dollar question. Does anger solve anything?
Does it solve anything?
What I'm hearing on the call
is that it's not possible to live in a relationship without displaying some type of anger. Well, whether that's, and let me say this in layman's terms, that it's not possible to be in a relationship with your spouse and at some time not get upset to the point where you disrespect your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I'm hearing that, so then at times it's okay to disrespect your spouse through anger because your emotions got hurt or your emotions is upset and your feelings come out. Now, I heard the brother say, now I'm hearing all the politically correct answers or the spiritual answers and saying, well, you're supposed to love her though, but even though you get upset, how's that supposed to happen? Well, we got to understand that there's a discipline that comes along with this. This isn't something that everybody just jumps on and we learn how to do whatever it is to do. Or we look at Christ and say, well, that's impossible. No one can walk like him. No one can talk like him. Or we see any other example of him in the earth and say, well, you know, that's impossible. Well, that's a discipline. No one can go on a 5-day fast if they've never been on a fast before, meaning not eat anything and not drink anything. That's not possible because you'll find yourself in the hospital. You have to discipline your body. You have to discipline your attitude. You have to discipline. So it's a walk through life, and every day we're trying to get to that point. No one's really arrived there. Every situation that comes tries us and tests us and prepares us so that we can get to that point where we're not angry in the sense of, you know, it says, be angry but sin not. So I'm going to be angry because that's a natural course of my emotional makeup. I'm going to get angry. It's a part of who I am.
Of course, Christ got angry.
Yes, he did.
Okay? And he reacted in anger. Okay? So don't get it so twisted spiritually where we got to say, oh, we're just going to pray on. We're not going to be angry. You know what? Hey, there's times I get angry, and I'll tell you, there is some righteous anger. Okay, there are some times where talking needs to stop. I've had brothers step up to me. I had a dude one time come over and sit on my wife's lap. Now, the time for calm, cool, relaxing situations had ended when he sat on my wife's lap. Now, I trust and believe, y'all that know me, that's the last time he sat on her lap. Okay? So there are times that I believe that, you know what, talking ends. And other reactions need to come to the forefront. You know, and there's times I believe that.
But that's not anger, is it? That's not anger.
Well,
that's a man-to-man grown folk situation. I wouldn't call that anger.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, it was 235 pounds of upset grown folk.
I
guarantee you that it was anger.
Well, you know, here's what I would like to anyway. I don't know how the other brothers feel about it. But for the sake of the call, I'm trying to keep this towards the spouse.
Okay.
Were you angry at your wife as well?
No, I wasn't angry at my wife at all.
Okay.
It wasn't a situation that she was, you know, flirting with him or something like
right,
that.
Right.
He just thought he could take the, you know, and you know, I don't play that. I mean, you know, there's some things I don't go with, and that's one of them. You don't step up on my wife. I mean,
I don't think any brother on the call would disagree with you.
You know, now some people, you know, talk about turning the other cheek. I guess, just like the brother said, I haven't got to that level yet.
Well, I mean, here's the question then. Okay, so this happened. You got angry. You acted out in your anger. But where did you go with that? Meaning, did you pull out a knife? Did you stab the brother? Did you shoot the brother? Did you choke the brother to death? I mean, how far did you go with your anger?
I think
we're missing some levels of this on what's acceptable, what's not acceptable.
Of course, I stepped up in his face and explained to him that there are certain things that are just not going to be tolerated.
And that sounds acceptable anger. I think that's acceptable response to it, and still being mature, still being professional about it, and you didn't blow off, or maybe you did, I don't know, with cursing him in his face, like I said, pulling out some type of weapon, and you know, just doing things that were out of control. In other words,
well,
you were still in a controlled
situation. If he had stepped to me wrong, there would have been no limit.
I understood. So if something else had happened, but
yeah,
you defused it.
That's right. If he had stepped up wrong, then you know, I'm gonna tell you, I'd like to say that you know, I'd have prayed on the issue, you know, as I was whooping his hind part, but it wouldn't have been pretty. I mean, I'm gonna tell you, I'm just not that holy.
No, I think you still did the righteous thing. I think that's what we're missing. It's not so much because Christ didn't just sit there and pray on everything that was going on. I mean, like you said, he had righteous indignation when he went into the temple and cleaned it out with a whip. I mean, he went in there and drove out the money changers and those that sold doves in the temple. So he went in with anger, and he displayed the anger. There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think, like I said before. But to what level? Now, some brothers are on the call, and I think they need to know that there's a way to diffuse it. A soft answer turns away wrath. I think there's a way to defuse the situation without going head on, flipping over the tables, yelling, shouting, being locked up because you're not doing your family any good, not doing your spouse any good, and any of your kids or anything like that. If you're going off the handle, I think there's a way to control the situation and yet still be angry.
Well, in that particular situation, if he had come the wrong way, I know that it would have been very difficult not to get into a situation, you know.
Well, let me ask y'all this, brothers, and I guess this is kind of a monkey wrench, but looking at y'all's relationships, whether you're married or whatever, would you say that one of y'all is the angry one?
Yeah, that's me.
Yep.
I mean, and it may not be you, but it may be your wife, but would you say in your relationship that one of y'all is angry? Is that, or quote-unquote, the angry
one? The one that could lose it.
Yeah.
Yep, me.
Yeah.
So how many, so is it more guys? You know, because I'm not the angry one, you know, I'm easygoing or whatever, but.
Right,
I'm not
the angry one in my relationship. That's usually my wife. It's not to follow suit.
The one thing I've noticed, because I am the one that would be the angry one, my wife gets defensive. And because of, you know, my ability to get angry, she has more of an offensive reaction when things happen. You know, somebody said, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong, and I believe that. And sometimes when somebody is really wrong and then gets defensive, that really bothers me. Because you know what right is, yet, you know, they're wrong and they're defending, you know, and that's a bothersome situation, but it's probably because of reactions that I've taken over time. But that's difficult when you're, you know, when somebody's wrong, yet they get defensive, and that can cause an escalation in the situation.
Do we have the right to get mad, though? Do we have the right to sometimes blow off steam? I'll tell you a story. I used to play golf with a friend of mine, Israel. Half of y'all know him. And we would go out sometimes in the morning and play, and I would hit a bad shot, and I would get mad. And he'd say, man, calm down. And I would say, man, if I want to get mad because I hit a bad shot, let me get mad. Because, it's what I want to do. You know what I mean? And sometimes we have to be in a situation. Now, in a marriage situation, I don't think that, well, we definitely can't be disrespectful. But sometimes you're going to lose your cool. And that's when we actually need the anger management. But the question I'm throwing out there, is there a time where you are going to lose your cool because of a certain situation, especially something like what Peyton was saying, when you all agree on A, and then the other party just turns around and does X, Y, Z?
And multiple times, like, not just one time. Happened? See, there's the thing that I think is another piece that's missing, is that the anger don't come out on the first one. It don't even come out on probably the first three. When we get to 10 years deep, and this is the 5,213th time, yes. And you know what? I should be able to get angry. I should be able to respond in whatever way I choose. Because
yeah,
we're adults.
I have to agree with that, because it's kind of like, and I'm not equating our wives to our children. I'm not equating that at all. But, you know, there's times when you talk to your children, you're going to start out talking in a reasonable manner and explaining how things go.
Yep.
After a time, that's not getting the message through.
Yep.
And I don't care. You could talk till you turn purple, but if the message isn't getting through, a different reaction has to happen. And again, I'm not equating our wives to our children, but sometimes, you know, we've got to get the attention to say, there's a problem here. We've got to address it.
We have to address it. Now, how do we address it? Because we have problems with being too over-aggressive.
Wait. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I'm in.
By the way, there is a golf rule, and you can get upset about a bad shot.
Thank you. Being aware,
yeah.
So I don't think that's how you're going to swing the club.
Yeah.
There's a bowling rule, too, okay, just to let you know.
Good. I feel better about it. I try not to anymore. I mean, this was many, many years ago, but I still felt as though, you know, if I want to get upset, you know, because I want to be a perfectionist, then let me get upset. It might, you know, but it's two different things. That's sports,
that's
and then you got
sports.
The marriage.
That's
but
sports.
There's
we're
a golf
talking,
rule.
Talking
you should
marriage.
Be able to
get
upset.
I don't think there's any sin in that.
Messed up or
no, when you're in a place, you should be able to get upset.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, see, I think it is a golf rule.
Yeah, and a bowling rule, you know, again, you miss the 10 pin, you should be able to get upset.
Did Beano just say it's a golf rule?
But we're talking, guys. I mean, but just think about the sports that you explained. You're talking about individual sports. You're talking about being upset with yourself. You're not talking about being upset with somebody else. See, and that's where we got to make sure that we keep those two things separate, because
because you're not disrespecting anybody if you have a bad shot.
That is true.
You only expect to play for
the rest of the day. And then when you do get upset, let's keep it individual. Doesn't make your game better.
But I think Tony said the magic word, fellas, and that's perfection. And, you know, I don't get too upset with my wife, but I do get more upset with my daughter because she plays piano, and she's only 6 years old, but if she don't play it right, I get hot, especially if she's been playing it for like 2 weeks. And that's where my anger comes out, because I'm like, you've been playing this song for 2 weeks, and you're still messing up. And I think that's where the anger comes, is that we're actually wanting people to be perfect when we're imperfect people. And, you know, the perfection piece, you know, even with our wives, you know, we expect them, you know, oh, we done talked about this and we agreed on this and we expect them to follow. But, you know, it may be some situations where we may be expecting too much, you know, or because we would, you know, if we would agreed on it, we would do it, you know, whatever. But we're all human. We all have our faults. And you know, I don't know. Maybe that perfection piece is where the anger is rooted in. Strive too much, you know, striving for perfection. I don't know.
Rodney, you related to Joe Jackson?
Do you play piano, Rodney?
I play with my daughter a little bit. I don't play it. No, I mean, she's better than
I
am.
You don't know a tone to save your life.
No, I mean, I can play, you know, what she play. I know when it's wrong. You know, I know when it's wrong. And, you know, I've just been actually learning with her. So, I mean, this is kind of our thing together. I'm actually living vicariously through her. So I'm, like, real into it and real interested in stuff. So I get hot, you know, when she's not playing it right because I'm like, you need to take this serious, you know, because.
The reason I ask you that is my son is a master pianist. He actually went to college for it, and it amazes me. But all the jumping up and down for me to do didn't make him want to do it anymore. Matter of fact, it pushed him in the opposite direction.
That's interesting.
So does our anger, and that brings up another point. Does our anger, the way we communicate in anger, as we just explained all night, does that push our spouse in a different direction, which makes us more angry?
Well, don't you think that getting upset with her is a little on the wrong side because, you know, God has been saying the same thing to you for years, but yet you're still doing the same thing, but he's still forgiving you and loving you, you know.
I'm not God, though.
Brian, before we answer that question, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it okay to get angry for missing the 10-10?
Oh, I can't tell you what I really want to tell you, yeah.
Brian's my bowling partner. He seems to get pissed off when I miss the doggone thing. Leave me alone.
God, good. This is a great conversation.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, to answer your question, I mean you're exactly right. You know, that we God works on us all the time. We steady, you know, messing up, doing wrong. But you know, I think that you know, like the other brother said, is that what I notice is that she doesn't respond until I get angry. You know, and you know, I don't know. I mean, she's, you know, just playing around and, you know, just goofing off. And I'm just like, yo, don't goof off. You know, I kind of give her some warnings. And then when I get angry, then that's when she, you know, starts playing and gets serious. But
here's a good word of advice, man. This realize, and I'm sure you already know, that there was only one that was perfect. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
all the rest is irrelevant, man. You know. And I think when you encourage a boy, man, I'm going to tell you, if my son was the worst at something, I would tell him he was great. You know, just to build his confidence to make him want to strive to be better. But if I get upset with him, it's going to cause him to push away because he's going to feel as if he's never going to please me. But I don't want him to please me. I want him to be happy with what it is he's doing.
Yeah, and that's good words, fellas. And actually, kind of with her great and she don't really get grades. I mean, she's only in the first grade. But if she doesn't get the highest grade, like I usually take the opposite approach, you know, because she gets upset. You know, if she ain't got the top grade, she knows what's a, I guess, you know, for all intents and purposes, she knows what's an A and a B. But if she brings home a B, she's upset. I mean, literally crying. And I'm like, honey, I mean, it's still a B. I mean, you got to, you know, work harder. And, you know, in that respect, I'm not like, yeah, you should have got an A. We need to study right now. I mean, so I take the opposite approach with that because she's so hard on herself, you know, when it comes to her grades. But with the piano, you know, she's goofing off, you know, and I'm just like, why don't you transfer that, you know?
But, you know, that's a real good point, though, that you bring up because how many of us are like her? I mean, yes, you know, I heard someone say with the perfection and we're talking about being perfect. Yes, we are, because that's the goal. Now, are we perfect now? No. But we're constantly trying. Well, we should be anyway, just like your daughter, you know, and the child should lead them, I guess, but your daughter says a B's not good enough. The next time I've got to get an A. So, you know, in our relationships, yeah, okay, we flew off the handle this time, but we don't want to talk, we don't want to act, we don't want to accept that flying off the handle is okay every now and then. It's okay for me to break a window here or break a nose there
you know, or okay, so we don't go to that extreme, but have the silent treatment in our house for 2 or 3 days on end, or sleep on the couch, or different things, like whatever we do, subtle to extreme, it's okay to do those things. No, we should be just have that same approach as your daughter, I think, in saying, I got to do better next time. I can't continue in this just because I did it this time. It's not acceptable. I don't like it. I'm hard on myself. Regardless if my wife says anything, regardless if friends say anything, regardless if the Bible tells me anything, I got to do better than this.
Yeah, that's great words.
I'm a better man than this.
This is great words.
And see that point right there is, I think, ultimately sometimes where factors in that anger maybe with a spouse is because if a spouse had that drive and that passion like Rodney's daughter to keep saying, you know what, I can do better than this. I can try to figure out, instead of me having to point it out or say something and take the seriousness in it, then I would not be angry at an adult. Because I can see in that situation with a child, you don't want to get angry. You want to really encourage and say, you did your best. You know, if you feel that you could do better, definitely try a little bit harder the next time. And you don't really need to do much because as a child, you need to bring them up. But when you're dealing with a grown-up and they don't have that drive and stuff for themselves to that degree like this child is 6 years old has, wow. Then here comes the pain. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Because it gets to a point where you just say, I don't understand how this is rocket science. I can't have this drive for you. Either you have it or you don't. Because ultimately, when we have this conversation, it's going to be conflict. Because you told me that you're going to do something, and you don't do it? And like I said, and I think this is where the anger comes from me. I don't know about you gentlemen on the call, but for me, I'm going to give it the front end time that it needs. And like I said, I might not want to do it, but I'm going to do it. But when you do something that's a complete audible or just have no regard, and then when I talk to you calmly about it and I come to you correctly, and then you either fly off on the defensive or you want to flip it and get angry at me because you knew you were wrong, oh, come on. You know, I came at you with my hands open, no clenched fists, no weapons drawn, nothing. And you just taking aim at me? Come on, I got to treat it like that old thing when we were little kids. Somebody hit you, you hit them back. Bam. I don't know what else to tell you, and I think that sometimes it is a response because I can honestly say when I choose to respond with anger, I've thought it through. I know where it's going to take me, what's going to not happen, where I'm going to end up, and I just roll with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes
give you a positive response? Does it give you what you're looking for?
I will say this. I would say probably 50% of the time, no. But you know what? My point's made. And then ultimately, people realize, or in this case, spouse realize, that's a hot button. The stove is hot. We're not going to play this game. Because at some point, fellas, we talked about this too on the call, and I understand. It's not trying to do anything in a disrespectful fashion by any means. Because like I said, my response to anger, it's not me flipping over tables and tearing the club up like 3-6 Mafia. That's not me. You know, what it is I'm just, you know, I'm going to be direct, I'm going to be curt, I'm going to be to the point, and I'm going to probably dumb it down and talk to you like you're 2 years old. That's probably what's going to happen.
So what you're talking about, brother, is initiative. You know, that initiative, you know, whereas, you know, my 6-year-old, I ain't even got to tell her, you need
right.
to get an A next time. She's already saying, you know what, before she gets home, she like, Dad, you know, I need to get an A. I need to do better. We need to work on this or whatever. So I guess what you're saying is that your whole beef is that what is she doing to improve or to not repeat the same mistakes over and over again, if anything?
That is. And you know what? I don't got time for excuses. I'm too big for excuses. You know what I'm saying? I don't have time. And I know sometimes I've heard everything. It's not an excuse. It's a reason, okay? I don't got time for reasons. It's not a reason. I just wanted to share with you what happened. I just want to walk you through it. I don't have time for walking through it. It's what we said we were going to do and what we said we weren't going to do.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? You know what I'm saying? Because
that's the whole point.
Why do you think your wife does this, then? Do you think she does it on purpose to piss you off?
And you know what? I sure hope not, because that's going to take the pain to a whole nother level. If I ever feel like it's really personal and it's just we're doing it just to get this rise out of me, I'm telling you, that's not going to be positive, because then I've got a different problem. I've got a problem now. You're just flat out trying to hurt me. And
well,
what if
she perceives you talking to her like a 6-year-old as you trying to hurt her, and this is her payback?
No. But you know what? Well, that perception, like, again, we go back to the perception piece. You can perceive it all you want to, but it's right and wrong. And in this, if you're wrong, it doesn't matter what your perception is. You need to shut your perspective up. You don't have a perspective.
Because you feel you're right.
No. Not that I'm right. It's right and wrong. And
okay.
I think sometimes that's where it gets tied up and people, you know, like to...
Because you're right, that gives you the right to talk to your wife as a six-year-old.
I said two-year-old, but yeah.
I'm sorry, a two-year-old.
the problem
that you're going to find is you'll win the battle, but believe me, it'll come back at you. And is that what you ultimately want? See, that's the question.
But this is what
when you feel you have the right to talk to your wife as a two-year-old, believe me, you may be able to over-talk her, over-shout her, or what, but you have hurt her. And it's going to come back at you in some form.
Yeah, and I'll say
she
this.
She may realize that the way to really get you is to watch you get pissed off.
Yeah, and I second that because I got a two-year-old too, and I tell her not to do something, and guess what she does?
Stop.
It's like, don't do that. Stop. Don't do it. And she just steady, you know, watching me. Like, yeah, I'm about to do it. You know, I'm going to do it anyway. So, you know, I think he might have some, you know, what he said, you know, basically to get a, you know, if your wife is doing that. And she may not be doing it, you know, consciously. It may be a subconscious thing. You know, where she's like, I know he's going to get hot about this. I just want to get a rise out of him. But she may not be doing it, you know, to be hurtful. You know, it may be something just kind of, I don't know, inane or something.
Maybe it's not a priority to her. Maybe it's just something that's more important to us. And it's not that important to them. Just like Andrew said with the anniversary. It's really more, apparently it's more important to him than it is to the wife. You know what I'm saying? And we get upset because we're not sharing the same priorities, you know, but I think that we're not going to always have the same priorities. Even when it comes to the kids, the household, the bills, whatever the case, we're going to have our different priorities set aside for them. But we get upset when they don't play ball, so to speak, you know, but talking to them like a two-year-old, sometimes it's effective. Sometimes it's counterproductive, you know, most times it's a little disrespectful, but if that works for him, it may work for him. In my house, it doesn't work because when I have anger with my wife, she just will just ignore me and go somewhere else. And then I'll be standing there arguing with myself. So it doesn't work for me. But a lot of times I think that we get upset is because they do not share the same priorities that we do on an everyday basis.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, I would say that it's not working for him.
Yeah.
Right? Would that be right?
Good point. Well,
I would say that sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But here's the thing. I guess, well, you know, from this call, I'm just trying to figure out, are we saying that we just should not get angry at our spouse?
No.
Or not carry it out? I mean, or not display anger? I mean, or frustration? Like, what are we?
That's a goal. That's a goal.
I think it's how you do it. You can do it, you know, like the brother said earlier. I mean, you could do it in a, you know, like he said, diffuse the situation. I mean, you know, you could talk to the brother and say, yo, I mean, don't be, you know, sitting on my wife's lap or whatever. You ain't got to choke him up, you know, but, you know, if he does it again, that's when you choke him up. But
that's an option. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But I think you can diffuse the situation, and it's how you diffuse the situation, because I think what we're talking about here is that by you getting angry and, you know, I guess in all intents and purposes, flipping tables or whatever, breaking windows, that's not going to help the situation. You know, by being calm, you know, yes, you can be angry and say, you know, I'm really angry right now, you know, with you. I mean, you could talk to her, whatever you do, but I think it's a way to show your anger. I think that's what we're trying to get at. It's the how to show your anger. And maybe
right,
you just need
right
to articulate it to say, you know what, I'm really angry with you right now. Maybe that helps to, you know, bring it down a notch for you to actually put it out in words. I'm really disappointed in you right now because we agreed on X and you've done Y, and this is the fifth time that we've done it. I think that if we articulate that, you say, you know what, honey, I'm angry right now. And maybe we walk away and say, I can't really talk to you right now because I'm angry. I might flip some tables over, break some windows, or choke somebody up. Not your
but
wife.
But, Rodney, isn't the ultimate goal, I mean, we are talking about managing our anger. So isn't the ultimate goal to manage the anger opposed to doing something else to it?
Yeah. And that's why I say, you know, how you instead of talking to her like a 2-year-old, talk to her like an adult.
Right.
You know what? You know, I mean, really, because the 2-year-old, I doubt that the 2-year-old way of communicating is working. I mean, even if it works sometimes, I doubt that that might just be a cave-in just to, you know, get you to be quiet about the situation. But, you know, I just say, you know, just articulate your feelings, you know, rather than, you know, ripping up stuff, I guess is the word.
How would you feel if she spoke to you as a 2-year-old?
She wouldn't do it.
I think when you're a child, you act like a child. And I think when you're an adult, you act like an adult.
Well, she said, what did you say? I didn't hear you.
I said she would not do it.
She wouldn't do it. But what if she did?
Yeah, that's not going to go over well.
Okay.
But I think she knows that. Because you are
in the superior role. Okay, and you are in the dominant role. And there are people, generally in a relationship, there's one dominating person and one that's not. And believe me when I tell you, there's going to come a point that she breaks. And she's going to say, no more. Is your marriage worth that?
Break to do what?
Yeah.
Respond or talk to me like I'm 2?
Yeah, but
he's going to say,
Andrew,
you're not going to speak to me this way anymore, and I'm done. Is that what you want?
And so, see, I'm assuming that he's saying it's almost like the golden rule. Treat others as you would treat them.
Yeah.
So if you want to get a definite answer to your question, you're going to have to speak to them at the same level you want that response to come back to. So me just saying, you know, if you're at the point now where you have to downgrade and talk to your wife at a 2-year-old level, then maybe you and her need to rethink how y'all communicate with each other.
And I will say this.
We're at a point now where you're getting ready to have a serious problem in the future. If y'all actually, because it could be the fact that she could turn around and talk to you the same way, which will piss you off. So if it's pissing you off for her talking to you that way, how do you think she feels right now for you talking to her that same way? You got to both be on the same level. So if even your arguments, you have to still be on the same level.
Well, I think that, well, I guess this, I understand what all you gentlemen are sharing with me, and I appreciate it. But the flip side of this and the positive side is I'm not putting hands on nobody. I'm not tearing up nothing that I bought or built or done anything with. I'm not doing anything like that. All I'm doing is I'm dumbing the conversation down to make my point known. And I understand that in some aspects that could be just as detrimental, because that's essentially what y'all are saying. It's just as detrimental as doing these other things. Maybe not immediately at that moment, but over time it may be at that same level. But it's like, where do you go? I mean, what do you do? You know, to be able to express, because at some point, you know, frustration, you know, you get to frustration, but then after frustration, you're going to go top shelf with it, which means we got to get that shot of anger in there.
Yeah, but this goes back to another problem with, well, not a problem, but I think I said this a couple calls before, that when you got that level where your communication to your wife is not being captured, even when you dumb it down, then that's where you want to get that third party in there.
And
from now on, I will promote that third party, because it's worked for my wife, and I know it's worked for a couple other folks on this call, myself and my wife, and it's worked for some other folks on this call, where instead of you talking straight to your wife, you're talking to a third person who can then put it in layman's term, if we want to say, for your wife to understand.
And I want to challenge everybody.
I'm talking about an actual third party, a priest or pastor or psychologist or something like that. A third party doesn't know.
I want to challenge everybody on this call just really quick, just think of a person that you know. I mean, because there's some people in, that we all know that you have to talk to, like they're, you know, two or three, because that's the only language that they, that's how you get across them, because they can't comprehend anything, you know, more advanced than that. But just think of that one person in your life that you know that you have to talk to them, that is like they're two or three, and then ask yourself, would you marry that person?
Not me.
I mean, think about it. Would you marry that person?
Not me.
Probably not, right? So, if we wouldn't marry that person, then we have to understand that that's not the person we married. So why would we treat the person that we married like that same person on the street that you got to talk to, like they're two or three? Not to just say that, but, you know, some people that you do have to talk to like that, because that's what they understand, but I don't think it should be your wife.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because then that's kind of insulting ourselves.
Right.
Like, you know, we married an idiot. You know what I'm saying? In actuality, we didn't.
And, Tony, that's a good point. And I hate to have to stop in right here and end it, but we want to make sure we get through everything before the night is over with. But this is going great. And I also want to add in right now is this, because you get on every week, the faithful communicators that get on every single week, this call has been picked up by a radio station. This radio station will actually, our virtual talk for married men will now be aired every Tuesday night beginning next Tuesday from 9 to 12 on WNJRNewark.com. So we'll be broadcasting live from New York and New Jersey and all over the broadcasting internet stations across wherever the web is. It's a web-based internet radio station.
Wow.
Tuesday week. So your conversations, we want to first say thank you for all of you getting on and just expressing yourselves and sometimes putting your own business out there in the street. But now you have gotten the opportunity to not only help the folks that's on this phone, but to help folks around the world. So for that, we want to say thank you.
And also in saying thanks, I definitely, like I said, I was serious about this shout out to my brother Rodney on this line, because he has been as faithful gets, and he just got a book deal, and let me say a book published. And if you can take 2 seconds, Rodney, just to talk about your book, man, I would appreciate it.
Tony, thank you, bro. That's not me, brother.
That's the other Rodney. The other Rodney.
Go ahead, Rodney.
Hey, Rodney, I was going to let you go ahead.
Go ahead, bro.
The book is called Be Fruitful and Multiply. And it basically takes a look at the commandment that Christ gives of for mankind to be fruitful and multiply. So it looks at the aspect of the obvious wording of that is having babies, producing children here on the earth. But whenever God speaks, he always speaks from a natural and a spiritual concept. And so he speaks on us being fruitful in our gifts, in our everyday lives, multiply those things that God has given us, the gifts he's given us. So you, for instance, if you have a calling on your life to do something with whatever, doing cars, or you know, open up a business doing clothes, or whatever the case is, he's called you to more than one thing. In other words, God, who created us, made us in his image. And in his image, he is the creator. In his image, he is the one that is not subjected to one title. And like I always like to say, that if you try to name all the titles of God, then you'd still be naming them well after Christ that came back.
Hmm.
Because it's just that many aspects of who God is. And God said, I created you the same way. No one should be able to define you as an account manager or define you as a preacher only. but in everything you're doing, he says you should be constantly being fruitful. And in everything that you do, so it's not about money, and so no one gets it twisted, and I make this absolutely clear in the book, is that it's not about money or material things, but you only get those things to point back to the Creator. And so this is what the book is all about in terms of be fruitful and multiply. That's God's commandment to us, that we don't get bogged down with kind of doing one thing, helping one group of people, helping black people, or being bogged down with just being in a quote-unquote black church or white church or whatever, but being fruitful, going to all nations, preaching the gospel, and winning souls for Christ. So that's in essence what the whole book is about. It promotes us getting up and doing something, participating with God. I don't know if I said this on the call or not before, but the subtopic of the book is spiritual pregnancy. And so it walks us through the course of pregnancy as well as walking us through the course of our lives and seeing these things come to pass. So none of us are confused with thinking that God just zaps things on us, but that God is, we participate with God just like a man and a female would in order to produce a baby. We have to participate with God in order to bring about some of the things that we're seeing in life. So it's good that on this call we talk about a lot of those things, and anger is one of those things. I mean, when we talk about it, we're here building ourselves up in terms of being head of household. We're trying to be fruitful in what we're doing as head of household, not just in having babies, laying down and having babies. Any man can do that. But we want to be fruitful. We want to be the best at it. Like, Rodney, you're talking about your daughter. We want to be the best at it, and we're producing fruit. Every day we're doing different things for our wives. We're keeping it fresh. We're multiplying blessings in our household because we're doing things the right way. We're not blowing off at the handle, finding ourselves arrested, getting a record, and abusing our wives and traumatizing our kids, but we're being fruitful. We're multiplying an inheritance to our children, teaching them the right way, teaching especially our sons how to be a man, and teaching our daughters the type of man that they should be looking for. So, I'll stop there, but that's what the book is really about, is being fruitful and multiplying every aspect of your life.
So where can we find the book? Can we go online to Amazon.com, or can we go
right
store Boulders and pick it up? Where do we can we find the book?
Right. So it just went live. So the publisher is Author House, and they have exclusive rights for it for the first 45 days. So authorhouse.com, you can go there and get it for the first 45 days. After that, Amazon will have it. Boulders will have it.
What's the name of the book?
It's called Be Fruitful and Multiply.
Is that Author House?
Yes, Author House, AUTHOR.
And do you have a website that you can go and click on the link, get to it?
I don't have a website yet. I'm working on it.
Hey, no problem. Well, that's great, man. Congratulations, and that's beautiful. And if we could, we'll try to sneak that in weekly so we can help promote you.
Yep.
Yeah, and can I just tie back to that? Yeah, good words, Rodney. But you said something very, just jumping right back to the topic here with anger, but you said something very, I think, imperative as well, is that how we express our anger, our children are watching.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to be careful and mindful that, you know, when we start flipping tables and, you know, choking people up or whatever, and our children are standing there, what are they going to do when they get in a situation when they're teenagers or adults? They're going to do the same thing that daddy did.
Mm-hmm. Even on the silent whatever. Treatment, Ron.
Exactly.
The other extreme.
Right. And I have a story that I would like to tell on that same thing. There was times a few years ago that my wife and I, we weren't on the same page. And everything seems like it was an argument. And with that, we had a big blowout one night where we woke up the kids, you know. We were just yelling, and I hate you, sorry, and all this stuff was going on. And it got to the point where the kids just came in the room, and they just said, "Mommy and Dad, would y'all stop it?" And just started crying. And I think that's when my wife and I knew we needed to get somebody else involved, because we would get ready to affect our kids really, really bad, because we were just not getting, at the time, we were just not getting along. And I think that does go to the fact of what you're just saying, is that
whatever we do, our kids, and our anger is also a generational issue. It's a traumatizing issue that we pick up on based on something that happened in our past, that now we have done it so much and we've built up this anger so much, that's the only way we know how to live now. So we're just passing this old evil curse along to our kids and generation of death. Anybody else want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I do. My daughter, and she's 18 now, it's really interesting. We were sitting down the other day at lunch, and she understands and she hears, you know, as we disseminate information to couples and we talk to each other, and obviously she's around us all the time. And she sees us go through different event after different event. And it's funny. She said the other day, she said, you know, you guys get upset about the dumbest things. You guys get upset about the silliest things. She said, I sit back and I just, you know, and I'm just amazed how you get upset, you know, about little dumb things. And I know you're going to work it out. So why do you get upset about it? That's from a child's perspective.
Is somebody at the grocery store or something?
Yeah, I am. I am.
For a quick second.
I'm at the grocery store. You're absolutely right.
My man, that's determination right there.
Right. At a household in the grocery store. That's what
you know, that's right.
What I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. He said, I'm not going to miss the call for some shopping. I ain't gonna do
you know that's right.
Yeah, give me some hot cocoa. I'm out.
Hey,
I think I did
that last week.
I think that if I can flip it up just a little bit, change it around a little bit, I kind of think that the anger has very little to do with the spouse if you're talking about the marriage piece. And the reason why I say that is because I think at some point we have to learn how to control our own anger as men. Because we have too much on the line. Just like you said, the children are watching, your neighbors are watching, your family members are watching, her family members are watching. Because sometimes we blow off the handle in front of whoever, it doesn't matter who's in the house. Mother-in-law, father-in-law, whatever the case may be. I think that we have to figure out how to control our anger within ourselves, where it has nothing to do with the spouse or the kids or anybody else. And then once we can achieve that goal, then we can productively be head of household and someone that is a model, I guess, example of being cool about it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said earlier, sometimes we need to blow off that steam, but I think it's got to be to a point where we are in control most of the time. We're never going to perfect it, but we got to be in control the majority of the time. So because just like Rodney said, when things blow up, when everything's a mess in the household, it's our responsibility to get it back right.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to get it back right if we're the ones blowing it up?
But let me put a monkey wrench in there. Yes. Why then are women so angry?
That's the $75 million question right there.
If we're responsible, just like you said, then why is our women so angry with us all the time?
Are they women?
I think that's true. I think that's true.
Does anybody have an answer to that?
He just said the answer.
That is the answer.
That is the answer.
That is the answer. Absolutely.
I think, don't
let that grocery store clerk hear you, Brian.
Oh, I'm out of the door.
Oh, okay,
good.
I think T hit it right on the head because if I can use another shameless plug from my book, I spoke to God one day, and he said, and I was asking him about why, you know, certain things weren't moving as fast in my life, and this was some time ago, but why things are not going like I'm seeing other people's lives going and things of that nature. And he had to humbly just hit me with a quick word, and he said, you know what? You look at Oprah, you look at Tyler, and this is in no way was he setting a standard for me to live by, but he said, you look at Tyler Perry, you look at Bill Gates, and he named off a few people, and he said, you know what,
you got the same 24 hours that they got. And he says it's not so much about the time or the hours that you have, it's what you're really doing with it. I'm saying that to say this and bring it back to the topic, is that we need to constantly be focused, constantly working at what we want. And if we want a better household, we want to be a better head of household. And in some cases, we have to, like T was saying, it comes back to us, and we have to look deep inside of ourselves in some cases and say, do I even really want to be the head of this household? Because I think if some of us, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but some of us, somebody on this phone call today, if you look deep inside of yourself, someone might not have to look deep and say, I don't really even want to be in this marriage no more. Mm-hmm. Some might even be saying, I don't want to be the head of this household no more because the folks in this household are crazy. Their family crazy, their dog crazy, everybody crazy. Now, in no way I'm not telling you to go on and leave, but what I'm saying is we have to get to the point where not only are we taking responsibility, but we're doing something about it. We're constantly working at it because we want this marriage to work. We want this household to be better. We want our kids to grow up and be better than we are. We want to be a role model example. Does that mean we're perfect? Absolutely not. Does that mean we fake when we go to church or when we go to different functions and stuff? Absolutely not. It means that we're trying every day to be better, and we're learning from the mistakes of our past so we're not continuing to go in a circle or go around the bush in them. We're learning from them, and we're trying to do better. Doesn't mean we don't get angry. Doesn't mean we don't disrespect each other every now and then. I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying we should learn from it. If you were flying off the handle before in previous relationships and you threw things through the wall and through the window and stuff like that, you don't do those things now, you're diffusing the situation, then that's trying. Now, I know you might not feel like you've moved anywhere, but think about it. You know, you've made some progress. Don't stop right there. Continue to make the progress. There are people who are, I know it seems far-fetched, but there are people out there who have harmony in their relationship and have perfect communication. Might be some folks on this call who have great communication with their spouses, and if there's a lot we can learn from each other. But don't stop right there. Don't accept defeat. Don't accept that the only way you can get through to your wife is by talking to her like she's a two-year-old, or yelling at her or cursing at her or being silent treatment to her or having sleeping on the couch or not coming home to all hours of the night. Don't accept that in your relationship.
You know what I was thinking about something, right? And I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna give you a little small analogy about something I went through once before. I think my problem when it comes to those type of things, the type of things that you're speaking of, is that, you know, we meet a person, we're with them for a long period of time, we decide to marry them, and then we marry them, and then Sybil comes out of the closet, and all of a sudden you found out that this person wasn't exactly who you thought they were. They don't hold the temperaments that they had at one time before you got married. And then when you see these differences come out, man, sometimes it gets radically, you know, difficult to deal with a relationship, you know? I mean, in that manner.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do?
You don't kick them to the curb because you have no option because you married that person, you know? I mean, obviously. But what I'm saying is the most difficult part is that, you know, Sybil comes out of the closet, the multiple personalities come out, you know, and you wonder, who are you? And then that's when it gets difficult, believe me. And, I mean, I'm not one to really put my business all out in the street. I'm going to tell you something, man. At one time in my life, a long time ago, I'm going to tell you something. I think the worst thing in the world that a man can do is put his hand on a woman. But let me tell you something, man. I was taken to a place one time that I've never in my life lifted my hand towards a woman. I actually smacked my wife once before. And I've never done anything like that in my life. And I really had to check myself. And what God had allowed me to see is that there were some things hidden in me, rather than me always talking about them. He allowed me to see some things that was within me that I haven't dealt with. So I had to look at the situation totally different, you know. So, I mean, I'm going to tell you, it can get out of hand. Yeah, it's good. And then becoming the head of household after that is very difficult.
Right.
And then, without question. But after a period of time, it all came back in play and everything, you know, worked out fine. But still.
Let's go there a little further. when is it time to move away? We shouldn't be putting our hands on a woman, but
absolutely.
But there is occasions and there's times where we've seen in the news where men have lost it.
Sure.
And women have lost it.
And women have lost it.
Sure.
You know?
Tiger Woods' wife lost it.
Yeah, she took that 9-iron and took it to Tiger, left him out there sleeping on the street. But
Lord have mercy.
Domestic violence is a part of anger.
And domestic violence even goes further than just the physical abuse, man. It can be mental.
Right.
You know,
I think somebody brought that
absolutely.
Up earlier is when talking is enough. When
oh, yeah.
Man to man, I think that situation is okay a little bit, depending on what the if it's silly or not. But when it's man to woman, when it's your wife, this woman that, you know, is holding your kids and your house and everything down while you go out here and provide for them and you knock her down. Now we're talking something different.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, we have to be careful because what we're talking about is, you know, us getting angry. And I think that in the situations where there is domestic violence or, you know, whether it was one instance or multiple instances, it's rooted out of, you know, being angry. You know, it's not just, you know, a smack or whatever, you know, just right off the bat. It's rooted, it's like a process. And then it's like we get so angry, you know, that it's like, bam, now you just hit your wife. But it all
well,
started,
I'm,
you know,
I'm
years
you,
back. Go ahead, brother.
I'm going to tell you something. You know, in my situation, what I found out was, see, I didn't grow up with my father, and my mother raised me. And I was too young during the time that he was living with my mother. Not knowing, she never brought it to my attention. I never allowed us to see that she was being abused by my father. And what I'm saying is that whatever was in me, well, it had to be generational. Because, see, I would have never known it. But it says the seed reproduces itself after its own kind. So you don't even have to be around the person and still have traits and tendencies of that person. So I didn't know, you see. And I had to break that thing. And it was a one-time issue, and that was it. Done.
Yeah, but
you actually answered the question because you said that it was something inside of you that you hadn't dealt with. And I believe that that's the issue in most of us because some are abusive, some aren't. Do we
right.
all have the tendencies to be that way? Maybe, maybe not. Some of us have ended the generational curse. Some of us don't even know that it exists. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I believe that we have to, like Rodney said, we have to dig deep down within ourselves and find out what makes us get angry, what makes us want to fly off the handle and break stuff and yell at everybody and, you know, make everybody in the house scared to be there. You know what I'm saying? So you're 100% correct. We have to look within ourselves and
oh,
not
yeah.
say, well, our spouse did this and the kids are doing that, because 9 times out of 10, they're doing the best that they can do. I honestly
sure.
believe that our spouse and our children aren't out to get us. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way that
sure.
we react to their shortcomings, and that's what we got to work on.
You know, I agree with that, but you know, there's times that women can push the buttons and literally cause situations. I mean, literally jumping in our face, putting a finger, hollering, screaming, that push men to certain situations.
Yeah,
but Andrew,
how to
Andrew,
walk
Andrew,
away. As a man,
Andrew,
you've got to learn how
Andrew,
to walk away.
But I mean, look at this. We've been dealing with that forever. Our father tests us. Our coaches, basketball, football, they get up in your face. They want to see how far. People just want to see how you're going to react. Sometimes your wife wants to see. She's like, go ahead and hit me. Go ahead and hit me. She wants to see if you're going to hit her. Sometimes they want to see how
that,
cool
but,
you
but,
really going to be.
But you know, I've seen some situations where women have pushed the envelope because of what they've seen in their
yeah.
life.
Yep, yeah, you're right.
You know, I haven't had to deal with that, but I know there's brothers out there that have to deal with a woman that, you know, they're going to get up in their face, you know, and test their manhood.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that's an extreme situation? I think it's extreme.
I think it is, but I think there's dudes I don't know if anybody on this call, but I think there's dudes that have to deal with that.
Yeah.
How would you deal with that?
I don't even know, man. I don't even want to talk about that. I'll be honest with you. I don't even want to talk about
that. I think that can be generational, too, you know.
Make sure you got gas in your car.
But I think that could be generational, too, that, you know, she didn't, if the lady you're dealing with didn't have her father and there's some, you know, some pent-up anger and issues that she's, you know, dealing with, then, you know, I think that's where they're jumping all up in the face, you know, that or whatever the case may be. You know, I think that's where that comes out. But, you know, back to the brother's point where, you know, he was saying that, you know, we're talking about why women, you know, so angry. You know, I think that, I don't know. Maybe it's just they try to find something to be critical about. I don't think that it's just almost unnatural for them to be content if everything is, you know, it's like, oh, I got to find something wrong. And, you know, I think, I don't know. I think it may be just how they're wired. I don't know. Because, I mean, it seems like it's a perceptive problem that they can always find something to be critical about. I mean, is that true? I mean,
yeah, but
I just want to say one thing about that.
Go ahead.
I believe myself that this right here, that a lot of times women can find themselves angry about the smallest things. And it's not just, you know, I'm not going to say it's in their nature because not all women like that. But, I mean, I've experienced this, man, through my life, that women can get mad. And what happens is the way that we handle it can allow that to either escalate or, you know, I can't say it can get better, but I think that it'll just escalate, man, because of the way we handle it sometimes, you know. And it goes back to what you guys were talking about, how we diffuse our own problems, how we look at ourselves and how we handle our own problems. If you don't, you know, stamp certain things, if you don't, you know, kind of get things nipped in the bud early, and you just keep humbling yourself to keep your relationship happy, and a woman is always, you know, coming out and saying the wrong things out of her mouth, I just think that the relationship just continually goes down and it gets even worse. And I just think that, and not to be getting off track of the anger, because that's what this topic's about, the anger management, but I've been exposed to that, and I've seen that in my past before, and I've learned a lot from it. It's really helped my future and made my future real bright.
Well, that's glad. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that, because some men don't. They don't learn from it.
Yeah, but, you know, there's certain.
Say that. That's great.
Yeah, but you got to go back to the respect thing, too, because respect's got to be in this mix somewhere. You know what I mean? And there's certain things that a woman is just not going to say to you. And you have to, just like you said, you got to stamp it. You got to stand behind it. Certain ways that you're not going to allow her to talk to you because you demand more respect than that. Now, some of us don't demand respect. Some of us think that just because we put that ring on it and we got this title that we just should be respected. Those are the ones who probably get disrespected. But when you do the right things and you demand respect and you are a respectable person, you see what I'm saying? A woman is not going to get out of pocket but so much with you. You follow what I'm saying? But when you just carrying it any kind of way and you the man, okay, then they're going to test you and they're going to try you every time because they don't believe that you're the man because your mouth is talking more than your actions.
What my wife has said to me many times, and this is what I've said to my wife, is you can always tell when you've disrespected a man because he's going to react in anger. Any man that's been disrespected is going to react in anger. Now, it may not be flying off the handle, smacking you upside the head, but his reaction is going to be anger because when you disrespect a man, there's no other place for him to go. And my wife a lot of times says to me, but I don't know when I'm disrespecting you. So a lot of times we need to pull them inside and say, you know, when you do this, this is disrespectful to me. So they can start. Most of our wives do not want to disrespect us unless we've hurt them in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we've hurt them, that is their defense, to come back to be disrespectful. Okay? But most of our wives don't want to disrespect us. So if we can explain to them, when you do this, this is disrespectful to me. Now, what's what's disrespectful to me may be different to Rodney. Okay,
right.
Rodney, it might be okay for his wife to step up and smack him upside the head. Okay, you know, or for Tony for his wife to call, you know, to jump up and say you a dumb MF-er. But to me, that might be disrespectful, or vice versa. You know, there are different things to each man that are disrespectful.
Right.
But we start to teach our wives what is disrespectful, and if they really love us, they realize, oh, I can't do that. That, although I don't mean to be disrespectful, when I say to him, you know, I'm going out and I don't care what you have to say, well, that's disrespectful to Andrew. Okay? Although to Rodney, it's okay. So whatever it happens to be, as we start to live in harmony, we teach our wives, our wives teach us, you know, and if we really care about each other, we won't push those buttons.
Yep, and we can't get too caught up in, quote-unquote, keeping the peace.
Yep.
Because sometimes we call ourselves keeping the peace, well, I got to live with her.
Mm.
But you're not the man of the house.
No.
When you start talking like that, you kind of give up your rights as the man of the house. When you jump, you just want to mosey all along and keep the peace. That's when you get run over. You have to keep your ground. You got to stand your ground and just demand respect. But like I said, not from your mouth, but your actions.
No, you can't allow yourself to be disrespected, because what's going to happen is you're going to blow up.
Yep.
And they're going to look at you like, what? I've been telling you, you're a dumb MF for any, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you blow up now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've got to draw the line and say, this is not acceptable, and this is not treatment that I'm going to accept. And, you know, if you don't do that, it's going to piss you off, and one day you're just going to snap.
Yeah.
Right.
Serenity now, insanity later. You better address it.
Better address it. Don't wait till tomorrow.
No.
Right then and there. And that'll alleviate a lot of the anger issues, because then there's that respect. She knows what buttons to press and what not to press, and vice versa.
Right.
But when there's no guidelines, when there's just everything is, you know, off the cuff, you can expect anything. And then, you know, that's when the anger management is out the window.
Right.
Because you never know what you're going to be on Tuesday. You may be something different on Wednesday, but you want to be the same thing all throughout the week. The same person, the same head of household.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be a son of a something on a Monday and your mama something on a Tuesday. You know, I mean, you know, a pushover on a Wednesday. It's all got to be the same key level throughout the whole week. And that's where you will manage that anger.
Exactly. My thing, and I tell my wife, look, I ain't no punk. You ain't going to punk me. All right? And every man at a certain point says, you're not going to punk me. All right? Now, if you continue, if she's punking you and you let her, you know, what's going to happen is you're going to snap. And you got to lay down the law, you know, and I just say, look, this is disrespectful. And I'm, you know, this is not a way that I'm, that we're going to be able to function, you know, in a way that's going to work. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, if you're swallowing it, you're going to snap.
Yeah,
and then
you know,
it's going to be a bad situation.
Yep, and when you're going to snap, it's going to be out in public when you're in some, because you're going to be doing it in private with you. And then she's going to say it out in a group setting with a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you going to do? I mean, then, oh, and everybody's looking at you like, is this the head of household? Is this the same cat that's on the call every Tuesday night? Because this can't be him. It's not the guy that's talking about he's running laps in his neighborhood and doesn't take this from anybody. Exactly. So you better if you go handle it on a personal level, it's gonna jump public on you. And that's
well,
gonna be when you snap.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
The question I wanna ask, I know you were asking where's the anger come from. I'm gonna throw something out there. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong. I think a lot of the anger come from when we meet our wives, or we have they previously were in relationships before us.
Mm.
So different things affected them in a way when they were in that relationship. And some things that we do may remind them of that. And then they have a tendency of venting their anger at us because of something that previously
happened with them in their relationship that they never resolved.
Good, good.
That's a good point.
Good.
I mean, that's what I find, that is a lot of times is what the issue is. Because when you awaken love before it's time, you know, when a woman is intimate with a man before he marries her, she takes on the spirit of each and every person that she's been with. So she's bringing all these different spirits into the relationship, and you're dealing with those spirits that she's dealt with. And that's where the anger comes from. And you don't recognize it because you didn't deal with it before you married her.
Good words.
Good words.
And I think another angle on that, brothers, is, you know, if your lady, your wife did have, you know, a father in her life that was very active, you could sort of, you know, get that anger if you're not doing it everything like her father did it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I had one of those, buddy.
I grew up without a father. So I didn't know how to you know, be the man that she was looking for because the street was how I grew up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't give her a lot of things that she was looking for, so that was major conflict in the beginning.
Wow.
Good point.
That is good. Well, fellas, it's 11 o'clock. Man, this topic, I believe we can go on all night for, because I don't think we even hit the anger with sex yet. We can pick that up now, or we can go to open mic. It's up to the audience. You let me know how you want to do it.
Well, I think anger with sex is another one that can go to next week.
That? Oh boy!
Right.
We've been there. Hold on,
man. I'm gonna tell you what, man. It ain't like being in the basement for a year.
Hello.
Well, fellas, let me since you done put it out there, Mr. Host, but you know, my wife told me the other day that you know, she thinks I'm different. You know, when we're regular, I guess. You know, it's like she said, I actually act different, you know, when it's, I was like, really? And I didn't get angry. You know, I just kind of just took it. I was like, really?
What do you mean regular?
And, you know, it's not that time of the month. You know, it's like, you know, we just.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. So, I mean, it's on and popping. And, you know, she said, I actually act different. You know, I'm a little bit more uptight, you know. And I'm like, huh? Are you sure? You know, but I had to receive it. And I was like, okay, maybe I am.
Subconsciously,
I am. You know, subconsciously, yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting that, you know, she made that comment.
Wow. I mean, can you imagine her dealing with that? Thinking about that?
Mm.
That's kind of profound, man. For her to even think about it that way.
Yeah. Because then it goes into, well, you only love me because, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? And I'm like, nah, it's really not like that. But, how I responded was like, I had to receive it. And I was like, I knew I need to do a better job, you know, and it was in the conversation. You know, I didn't flip over a table that time. But you know, I just received. I was like, you know what? I got to do a better job.
So, like, just more caressing, holding, wow.
Yeah, I mean, just more, you know, it's like, yeah, just more back.
A couple years ago, I got that same speech.
Yeah.
You're always going downstairs.
Yeah.
But I
hanging
told
out.
Everybody what I was doing. I was like, hey, I got a week off. I got to do something.
Man.
He opened it up with that one.
So how do you deal with that?
Huh?
How do you deal with that?
Well, now I'm caressing and talking more.
Yeah, that's good work.
During that time, instead of just leaving her in the bed by herself and not going to bed on time.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do the same thing now, get to bed. But, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, I think that it was the awareness. I think that's what Tony talks about all the time, is the awareness. Now that I'm aware of it, I know that I have to check myself. You know, I'm like, I have to really reflect. And it's like, all right, how am I acting today? You know, am I the same last week?
You're no longer playing Tiger Woods golf.
Yeah.
But, you know, really, I just had to, you know, do some self-reflection and say, you know, I was like, you know what? If you think that's the case, then you know, I need to change your perception, and I need to do a better job, and it is what it is.
I don't think it's the dialogue. I don't think it's as much the dialogue as it is the affection part that they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm pretty sure you talk to your wife the same way you do throughout the whole month, but it's just probably like when you go to sleep at night. Are you rolled over on your side watching cable while she's on the other side of the bed trying to get some sleep? Or are you at least holding her or laying close to her every night? You know what I'm saying? I think that that's what they want. They want the don't be laying up on me because you're going to get some.
Yeah.
And then when you know it's totally out of the question, you somewhere else. Your mind is 100 miles away. You see what I'm saying? So I think the remedy to that is every night, regardless, whatever time you get in the bed, cuddle up with your wife. Every night.
Yeah.
And that'll take a lot of that drama out of it.
The worst.
Just cuddle up and be done with it.
Wow.
Even if it's 4 days out the week and then you got to play Tiger Woods golf one day, then you know, but you put that 4 days at work.
Oh, man. Yeah, wow.
So y'all not really talking about how we think about it when it's that time of the month. The truth about it is that even though it is that time of the month, we do mosey upstairs kind of later. But in our mind, we're like, well, because it's that time of the month, don't mean nothing else can happen.
Tell
the truth.
It's true.
Oh, boy.
Hey, look, preacher, brother,
wow.
It's the truth. That don't shut. Look, that don't shut all the doors. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Oh, man.
We got to think outside of the box.
Got to be outside
of the box.
Yeah, that is.
Sometimes you gotta take a shower in the dark. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
That's right. Oh boy!
Take a shower in the dark. We grown men on this call. We know what time it is.
Oh my goodness!
Wow.
Wow.
Brian,
why you gotta put it out there like that, man?
Because that's what they call being intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's intimate. You gotta cuddle up.
You gotta turn the other way and cuddle up.
Yeah, just like Rodney, you said last week, you're not in a recession, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
So just look, the whole month is all good then, right?
Absolutely.
And my house ain't no 1 week nothing. It's the whole month is all good. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's what's up.
You know what I mean? And if we roll that way, we will take some of the complaints away because they got a laundry list of them. But our job is to just shorten that list.
That's right.
And if affection is one of them, affection is free and it's easy. All you got to do is go from your side of the bed to her side of the bed, and problem is solved.
Yeah.
Problem is solved.
If you put one leg over there, throw one leg on her. That's all they want. They just want to feel that you're there.
Yeah.
Just throw a leg on them.
Throw a leg on them.
That is it, man. That's all they want.
Yep. And but guess what? That's even better. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's even better. Because that's the week that we're not even trying to get some. You know how they say, well, you only come around me when you want to get some. That week we know that the leg is genuine. We ain't trying to get some. We just want to be close.
True that.
That's a true statement.
That's a true statement.
Man, anything else, fellas?
Ah, man. Guys, make sure y'all have a safe Christmas.
Just to recap, we just got to remember that anger management, different people have different ways to look at things. So we got to find that center ground and to come to a good conclusion without trying to get in an argument, which takes us way out of the box, and we never get to the actual resolution that we were looking for.
Yeah, and 9 times out of 10, you know, when you get to that anger anyway, it's because you've been hurt. Something hurt you.
So I guess
the best thing to do is, you know, before you get to talking to them like they too, is talk about that hurt, point that example out of where it's coming from. All right, I'm gonna let you know where I got my feelings hurt on this one, and hopefully they won't just wipe their feet on your feelings and where you got hurt, because that'll definitely take you to some anger probably. But to really just address that hurt, you know, I guess that's ultimately what it is. Because I know for me,
that's
usually where, when that anger's coming out, it's because I'm hurt. I'm hurt at the fact that I believe in you to write this situation, because you told me that you would for the 15th time. And I'm hurt by it. That's pretty much it. I mean, and that's always been it, you know, and that's been my thing. You know, I've always been the reverse of, I guess, most of the feelings and emotions and the way people would exude that. When I'm hurt, I'm angry, you know, but when I'm happy, I'm crying, you know, and people that are really close to me, they know that. Like, this dude's crying. He must be upset. He's sad. No, I'm happy. But when I'm but when I'm hurt, that's when things don't go the right way. And I'm sure a lot of people probably exuded in that fashion as well. But it's like, that's ultimately what you probably need to do with the anger before it gets there. And I think that, you know, aside from everything else I said on the call, that is ultimately what I think, as head of household, that's what you have to do. And you have to encourage that and exude that. Talk about the hurt that is coming out of this situation. And then maybe if you spun it in that direction, a person wouldn't necessarily get as defensive, be aggressive or attacking with the situation or wanting to, you know, pounce on your feelings and emotions. Just talk about that hurt and really hear it. And especially if somebody's sharing hurt with you, you know, to be able to listen and be able to process that. So,
And you got to remember forgiveness after.
Yeah, that's
a big. Because unforgiveness and bitterness takes root and gradually poisons the marriage. It does. It will poison your marriage. If at the end of the day, it's the argument before sex, I think. Everybody knows about that one, that you don't go to sleep unhappy and not talking to each other. Somewhere at the end of the day, you have to come and say, I'm sorry. Even if you're right, just so you can have sex at the end of the night. That's my hope.
Yeah, and you got to keep saying to yourself, and you got to say to yourself, before you blow up on your wife, say, my wife is not the enemy. My wife is not the enemy. That's your partner.
Right.
If they haven't handed you divorce papers, that's your partner. You know what I mean? And no matter how, what they do, I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, it's not intentional. They may want attention. And we got to remember that. Sometimes our wives just do things because they want attention. They want our attention. They are attention seekers. And sometimes we take that as for them being angry, nagging, whatever the case may be. But we need to sometimes just look back and say, man, I'm glad that somebody wants to be up under me. Because some people don't have that. Some people sitting at home right now, grown men sitting at home right now, ain't got nobody. But we have somebody that wants to be up under us, but we think that they're nagging, and then we call them the ball and chain or whatever the case may be. But they are not the enemy. And if we can remember that before we blow up, I think we will put ourselves in a better situation to win.
And as Rodney said, and just narrowing that up, summarizing that up, stop being unreasonable. You know, be able to reason with your person and also with your emotions. Because sometimes we allow our emotions to control us instead of us controlling our emotions. Which can...
Yeah, that's good work.
Good words. A few more things that we found out. We found out a lot on this call. I know we did a lot of talking, but I was just writing this stuff down while the call was going on. Expecting too much perfection is another one that really stood out. Is that, you know, sometimes in perfection, when you're trying to get your thoughts and beam it through somebody else's head, and having them on the same page as you are about perfection and how things should go and how you want them to go, I think we lose track of things, and that's when our anger gets the most of us, because we're thinking one way and we're trying to be perfect, and this other person is just trying to get through a situation. They're not on the same page. So we got to do a better job of knowing that, oh, I need to step back, take a deep breath, and figure out why they're not seeing what I'm seeing. That may be the change in your tone. That may be, I give you a situation at work that I'm going through right now with one of my analysts that works for me. This guy is a very smart guy. However, when he and he works on the help desk. So when he communicates to a user who's having a problem, he's a perfectionist, so he's talking to him as a perfectionist, which they don't get it. And then they end up emailing me and saying, I don't understand why this person is talking to me that way. I feel like he thinks I'm a dummy. So I had to go to him and just tell him to calm down a little bit and say, listen, your tone means a lot to a person when you talk to them on the phone who's not on the same level as you. So the way you speak to them means a lot with the type of communication and how you're going to resolve an issue. So if you come at them with an angry tone, you're going to have a negative answer come back directly to you. But if you come to them with a good tone that they can understand and maybe throw in a little laughter in there, then people respect you more and they are able to listen to you more instead of trying to analyze what you're doing. And then there was the sex. We all know about that. We need to cuddle more. Here we all cuddle. Just be men.
Did I use the word cuddle?
That's a real one.
You did use the word cuddle.
Man, I'm sorry, man. Somebody find another word for that.
Cuddle more. That's what I wrote down. That's what you said.
My bad. I must have got caught up in the moment, man. We need to find another word for that.
All right. Anybody can think of another word?
Yeah, slide in intimate. Slide in intimate. Yeah, put that in that place.
Yeah, put that in there.
It sounds more relaxing, man. Cuddle sound good, but it sounds like you're up to something.
Everybody has pen or can remember, we'll put this in the email next week. Again, because of your hard work getting on and your dedication to getting on this call every single week, we have been picked up by a radio station, and another one is also looking at us. So we got big things going on right now with the head of household and this virtual talk show for married men. Right now, starting next week, you will hear us at www.wnjr-newark.com. This is a internet broadcasting network. It broadcasts over multiple cities. Their main cities are New Jersey and New York. So we're going to hit the big areas. And I think we have some folks from New York that's already from New York on the phone call now, and we have folks that also call in to the call that's in from the New Jersey, New York area. So that is going to be big. So if you can promote that, and we're already on the website, It shows when our time is. So you can go in there now, www.wnjr-newark.com. That's newark.com. And check us out. Check the website out. It will be linked to talkshoe.com, so you will still come here, and we will still do all our talking, but this radio station will pick up this broadcast and broadcast it out over the city. So anybody who is at work, at home, can not only just log on to TalkShoe, but they can log on to the radio station and listen to it all the time. And remember, if you miss a call one week and you want to go back, go to TalkShoe.com. We keep all of our old calls, episodes on there where you can listen to the whole thing. Tone, do you have anything you would like to say? I believe everybody else is. Rodney, you good?
Yeah, I just want to say solid call, brother. Solid call.
Yeah, good call. Real good call.
Yeah, good call, fellas.
Hey, no problem. Well, all I can say now is Merry Christmas to all. Happy holidays. We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right.
Yes, sir. Merry Christmas, brothers.
Happy holidays, fellas.
All right.
Merry Christmas, fellas.
All right. All right. Later.
Merry Christmas.
Have a good night.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hello.